making a commitment to live by the precepts is something that's very personal, in the sense that it comes entirely from our own wish to do that. So when we make a commitment, whether it's informally as we come to practice, or whether it's publicly when we do a renewal of vows ceremony, or whether it's the more formal taking of the precepts in the sense of lay ordination, it's the movement of our heart, it's our wish that we're expressing. And in a very real sense, that's the whole of it. And so there is nothing that we receive in return, because there's nothing we need to receive in return. It's us undertaking to live by the precepts. What we're committing to ourselves to is living in a certain way, living in a way that we don't cause harm for others, cause suffering for ourselves as much as possible. And in committing to the precepts, it's a commitment to live as a Buddhist, because the life of the precepts is the lifeblood of Buddha. It's completely integral to Buddhist practice. There can't be Buddhist practice without the life of the precepts. Buddhist practice is not about understanding something. There is understanding, but fundamentally it's about living that understanding, living as Buddha. And what the precepts are a description of what it means to live as Buddha. And so the commitment to live as Buddha, the commitment to live by the precepts, the commitment to live as a Buddhist, they're all the same thing. It's that we commit ourselves to, not specifically to a particular lineage or a particular order, a particular tradition. And at the same time, there are different lineages, different orders. And when we come to practice, many people try visiting a number of different groups, and hopefully there's one that we connect with, that we feel that's the right place for us to practice. And so naturally, when we come to make a commitment to the precepts, we do so within that tradition. And so at the same time, it's a non-sectarian, non-divided up commitment to live the life of Buddha. And also it's done within the form of the particular tradition of Buddhism, school of Buddhism, however you like to express it, that we feel we connect with, and that we choose to practice within. And Great Master Dogen in his writings talks about different ways of taking the precepts, that we don't actually need to, on one level, we don't need to take a formal ordination, but he says just to ourselves take the precepts in front of a statue of the Buddha or in front of an image of the Buddha and wholeheartedly commit ourselves to that. That is taking on the precepts, that's the commitment to the precepts. Because the core aspect of it is our commitment, it's not about it being externally recognised. When the internal wish is complete, it's complete. It doesn't need outside verification or outside approval or recognition. That's one way to take the precepts. Another way to take the precepts is in front of someone else, in front of a precepts master. And whilst we don't need to do that on one level, because the commitment is the important thing, on a human level, it's actually really helpful, and in some ways actually really important that we do that. That it isn't something that we just do inside that we can then backtrack on and say, oh, I didn't really do that, which we have quite a tendency or a potential to do at the very least. We kind of water down in our own mind what we've actually committed ourselves to. Well, I had in mind to, yeah, maybe give it a go, but I hadn't, you know. I didn't say definitely I'd do it. When you take lay ordination, you kneel before the precepts master, and the precept master asks, is it your wish to become a Buddhist? And in front of the precepts master, in front of the statue of the Buddha, in front of everyone else who's there at the time, we say, yes, it is. We commit ourselves publicly in front of someone else. And Reverend Master Jiu, in her slightly humorous way of putting things, said that at lay ordination, you say, I do, and she says, you bet you do. There's something about that public willingness to do it that's because others see us committing to it, we, in our own mind, can't then so easily backtrack from it, or at least we have to acknowledge that we're backtracking from it, not that we didn't do it to begin with. And so there's a real skillful means in that. And that's why we have ordinations, that there is that public acknowledgement and public recognition. Because as well, we train as a Sangha, we train with others, and it helps us all to see that others are committing as well, making that step, taking on that that commitment to live in that way. And when we each do that together, we support and help each other's practice and training. The commitment that we make to the precepts isn't a one-time commitment. The ordination ceremony we'll just do once, but the commitment to live by the precepts is something that's renewed constantly. We've been having here regularly renewing the precepts. The precepts morning is an opportunity to come and, again, openly, publicly, acknowledge, recommit to living the precepts, living by the precepts. But in our own lives, actually, every day when we get up, there's a choice there. How am I going to live today? How am I going to interact with those that I meet? How am I going to put into practice the life of Buddha on this day? Traditionally, every morning in a temple, and you may do it at home, we say the Kesa verse, which is a recommitment for that day. How great and wondrous are the clothes of enlightenment, formless and embracing every treasure. I wish to unfold the Buddha's teaching, that I may help all living things. It's that wish to unfold the Buddha's teaching, which is the living of the precepts, finding out in our lives what does it actually mean to live by the precepts. That's the ongoing unfolding of the Buddha's teaching. But it's not just once a morning, once a day, that we recommit to that. Actually, every moment is a recommitting to the precepts, because in every moment we have the choice, how am I going to act now? How am I going to respond? Do I choose to live my life in a way that I don't cause harm to others and disturbance to myself, or not? And of course, sometimes we find that we do get caught by our untransformed, unresolved tendencies, the things within that drive us, our tendency maybe to anger or anxiety or worry, hatred, desire, the whole gamut of human emotions we find we may get driven by. We need to be compassionate towards ourselves within the practice as well. Yes, it's work in progress. We have to acknowledge it's work in progress. If it wasn't work in progress, we'd be, you know, totally actualized and enlightened Buddhas through and through. And, well, we acknowledge there's more to do. There is more to do. And we see that there's more to do. And at the same time, as Dogen says, practice and enlightenment aren't two different things. The working on that, the ongoing transformation of that, is the work of Buddha. That is the life of Buddha. That is the expression of our understanding and of our enlightenment here and now. When we take ordination, we're given a chart which shows the lineage of all those who have passed on the precepts, passed on Buddhism, passed on the teaching from the time of Shakyamuni Buddha down to the precepts master who's giving the precepts, and our own name is added after that. We're not given a list of the precepts, we're given this chart of the ancestors. And that's fundamentally pointing to the fact that the precepts aren't just a doctrine. They're not words written on a piece of paper. They have to be lived. And what we're given is the example of 2,500 years worth of people who have lived them, who have expressed them and passed them on. The precepts only existing on paper are not the precepts at all. That's just paper and ink. It's just words. The precepts embodied in the life of a person is the true precepts, even if they're not written down anywhere, even if they're not formalized. Living the life of Buddha is the life of the precepts. Of course, it's enormously helpful for us to have them written down, to have guidelines, to have something that points us in the direction of what is the life of Buddha, because to begin with we're not clear on that, and as we go along we realise we're still not entirely clear, and it's really helpful to have all sorts of teachings that point us towards that heart of what it is to live the life of Buddha. And the formulation of the precepts that we have is one very, very skillful and helpful way that points to that. So the life of the precepts, the taking on of the precepts, the commitment to the precepts, there are very many ways in which it manifests in our life, and it's all down to our commitment. It's all down to our choice. How do we want to live? How do we want to express what we feel to be true? At Throstle each spring there is a whole week dedicated to the precepts, and it's called Jukai, which means the taking of the precepts, and there are a number of ceremonies there which I'm not going to talk about now, but they all help us clarify for ourselves what is the life of precepts about, what is the life of the Buddha about. And for anyone who's thinking of committing to the precepts, that's a very excellent retreat to go on, and it's a very helpful way to just immerse ourselves in that for a week and really practice with others for that time and hear talks about that. And there's something about doing that whole package together which Throstle is set up for, but it's actually very hard to replicate at a smaller temple, because it needs a number of people to do it, to say the least. At the same time, not everyone can make it up there, and so it's also possible to do it at other temples, but then we don't do all the ceremonies. We can do the lay ordination, and of course you can then do Jukai at another time, but if you can make it up to Throstle, that's a great thing to do. And Throstle these days has a lot of facilities, has a lot of private rooms, and so if anyone's thinking of going to Throstle either for Jukai or at any other time, they should be able to make it possible to stay in comfort, to have a private room with the facilities that you need. All the main buildings have lifts in them these days, makes things easier. The reason really they've gone to that trouble of having those facilities is really so that no one feels they can't go because of practical reasons. And food's good, central heating's good.